Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the Den of Geek podcast, featuring commentary on the latest news from denofgeek.com, as well as other behind-the-scenes content from your favorite movies, TV shows, and more. My name is Michael R. I'm the podcast editor here at Den of Geek, and as we've been doing with the Den of Geek podcast feed over the past few months, this has become the place to share convention highlights. And New York Comic Con 2019 just ended, and we have a very special guest with us today, Marshall Julius, who is a movie reviewer for BBC Radio, and he was at the convention to do some promotions of various toys and a book that he's written. Welcome to the podcast, Julius. And just to clarify, you weren't at New York Comic Con in the capacity as a movie reviewer, were you? You were there for other reasons, correct?
Oh, I wasn't there even remotely as a reviewer for BBC Radio. That's really just one tiny thing that I do. But it's, you know, it's a good thing to open with. Mainly why I was there before. Well, two reasons. First of all, I'm running the social media for this great toy company called Far Out Toys, Inc. Specifically, this new product they do called Pulp Heroes. These Marvel and brand new Star Wars range of figures that they're like cardboard. They fold flat, and you can put them in boxes that look like mini comic books, and they have these cool vintage covers. And then you pull them out, and they spring up. They're on wheels. You can roll them around. They're really cool, kind of fun collectibles, but you can also play with them. They're definitely not the sort of thing you should keep in the packaging. I think they're way too much fun to keep in the packaging. So I went there with I went to Comic-Con with like 200 samples. Far Out sent me out there, and I was staying in a little hotel on Times Square, and they sent 30 boxes of product for me to open and bag up. And so I was walking. It's like about mile and a half to the Javits Center. They said, oh yeah, we'll put you in a hotel that's really close to the Javits Center. So I got this backpack on me, this kind of weird canvasy thing that's like, you could fit, I mean, not just one child, you could fit two child. I could have fit in there myself. Except, but it's just full of these amazing kind of Pulp Heroes figures. And, you know, if it was heavy, I would just stop and just hand out a few on the street and say, oh, do the hashtags on the back, you know, kind of like I was working, like I wasn't just trying to ditch a few because it was killing my back from carrying. And it's like, well, look, there's a Darth Vader. Let's give him a Darth Vader. And, you know, it's just so many photo ops, and everybody also, I just love the atmosphere of Comic-Con. Everybody is so friendly and inclusive. I don't know. I just get a really good vibe off it. Obviously, it's incredibly crowded and mad. I mean, I felt sometimes like we were all like refugees from some nerd planet that had been blown up, and that we were in some sort of refugee center where all the nerds from our world, we were all in there. Certainly it felt like when we were getting food from the food truck and everyone was sitting on the floor and stuff, it was like, I thought we should all have like a good old Second World War sing song to keep our spirits up, because it just definitely felt like a kind of nerd refugee experience, but in a good way, don't get me wrong. But it's amazing. I just love it so much, and I love New York so much. You know, I had 20 hours a day to buy as much swag, to blag as much swag as possible, to hand out as many toys as possible, to eat as many pulled pork sandwiches, little bagels and lox and pizza as possible. You know, there's just so much to do. And my other main kind of priority when I was there was I've written a book called Vintage Geek. It's a quiz book made possible really because I have, you know, this decent following on Twitter, and I was finally considered back. I had enough juice to get a book contract. For years, people said to me, you know, Marshall, nobody's interested in like print anymore. And I said, that's just not true. You know, I love print. You know, we like physical media. And I thought a quiz book about all that great old stuff that I grew up with has to be in a physical form. I mean, yes, you could get a Kindle version, yes. But the book itself, it's like a deep dive into like 20th century fandoms that we all love. It's James Bond, but only the Roger Moore years, Doctor Who, but only Tom Baker. I've got chapters on Star Wars, the original trilogy, of course, Star Trek, the 60s series, also the Universal Monsters and the first Atari console and Marvel Comics of the 1960s. So, you know, Stan and Jack Kirby. And it's all of those things that I kind of love and adore and that I feel that have made me who I am today. It's basically all of those things and cheeseburgers are what made me, you know, kind of... what I am today. And amazingly, the most exciting thing about it for me was that for some reason, all these really cool celebrities, and when I say celebrities, I mean, you know, people who have actually earned their notoriety, you know, comic book writers, artists, actors, filmmakers, directors, and special effects guys, and all these people who follow my nerdery on Twitter, because, you know, people high and mighty, and you know, all the way down, we're all connected by our love of stuff and comics and spaceships and Wookiees and all of these great people that follow me. I reached out to a lot of them and asked them if they wanted to contribute a question, and many, many of them did. So I've got like Dan Slott gave me a Spider-Man question. John Carpenter contributed a question on The Thing for my John Carpenter chapter, which was incredibly exciting. Mark Hamill gave me a question for Star Wars. George Takei gave me a question for Star Trek. Tom Savini gave me a question for Dawn of the Dead. I've even got a question from Dan Lloyd, who played Danny in The Shining, and he gave me a Shining question.
Wow.
So it's just incredibly rich with nerdery.
Is that the kind of thing that's actually indicated in the book, that this one was contributed by so and so?
Oh, very much so. Oh yeah. Do you think that's the kind of thing that I would keep a I don't want to tell anybody because it's coming off, you know. It's like, you know, a bolder person would, you know, try and use it for marketing purposes. So, everybody's been very kind and already you know, many of them have started kind of tweeting about it. So Comic-Con was a fantastic opportunity for me to, having only known some of these people, most of these people, you know, digitally, here was a chance for me to actually stalk them in real life. So Clancy Brown was there. Clancy gave me a question about Highlander, and I went to meet him and Fabian Aceza and Dan Slott and James Arnold Taylor, who's just... I love him so much. When I sent him a copy, an advanced copy of my book, he made a video like immediately and was just hawking it online. And it's just, you know, stuff like that is just, it's invaluable. It's just amazing. And he was so nice in person as well. I just love him. So, so there you go. I've just come out and saying that I love James Arnold Taylor. So I had a wonderful Comic-Con experience. I didn't actually go to any panels. I've got a fair bit of swag for myself. But I think I had a quite a unique Comic-Con experience, and I loved it. I just can't wait to go back.
So you were talking about how your book is available on Kindle, but it really needs to have that print experience. And I totally agree, because that's the kind of thing where you have to have it on the coffee table. You have to have it, even if it's just a one-person experience in the bathroom, maybe.
Oh, yeah, something Warwick like that. Davis, I gave him his copy, and he said, as I said to everybody, because there's no such thing as a free lunch, I said, oh, would you mind tweeting about it, Warwick? Still waiting for that, but I'm sure that it will come. I said, would you mind tweeting about it? He said, yeah, absolutely, I'll post. He said to me, you know, to me, this is the kind of thing that you keep in your toilet, and hopefully not when the paper runs out, but... you know, this kind of thing you keep in your loo. And when you know, you're sitting there for a few minutes, you kind of go thumb through a few pages. And he said, can I say that? It's like, you know, you can literally say anything you want. You know,
yeah.
I think if you're in Return of the Jedi, you could just literally say anything you want.
That's right.
About anything you like.
And I think it's also true that both the book that you were there to sell and the toys that you were there to promote are something that you could pretty much go anywhere. So you didn't sit at a booth, I take it. You just were out and about. Or did you have a place that you were sitting?
No, I was just totally guerrilla style. I was handing out the toys like first thing in the morning, because it's quite ungainly to walk around Comic-Con. I mean, it's heavy, but mainly it was like, you know, it's quite crowded. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's hard enough navigating just myself through there. But with a giant sack of stuff, you know, it would have been impossible. So that was like my first priority, was kind of giving those things away in the morning. And so, you know, kind of let everybody know that I was around, and then just randomly gave it to people. I generally gave it to people who, lots of cosplayers, because, you know, I thought that they're super committed. But I'm not a kind of cosplayer myself, unless, you know, fat, middle-aged, bespectacled nerd is a costume. In which case,
exactly, same. Well, you have to have the t-shirt with some kind of nerdy message on it. That's good enough.
That's for sure. And one Mondo pin or another Mondo pin, you know, it's like, I've always got this. And I had my Overview Hotel shining socks, and you know, there were plenty of indications of my nerdery, definitely. So yeah, I did not have a single base. I was on my feet all day, which is why I'm practically crippled now. I mean, by the time I got home, I'm padding around the house now with these bloody stumps, and it's not attractive. I'm just hoping to kind of recover over the next few days.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I have the feeling that that kind of toy that you were talking about, because, I mean, just to paint a picture for our listeners, they're kind of like a paper version of a Funko Pop.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Cooler than a Funko Pop.
And I agree, because it has the little wheels that you pull back and then it goes. And I would picture that as something that you would, you know, have one to play with, like you said. Don't keep it in the cupboard. Get it played with and have one that you set aside, you know, for a keepsake if you want. So you can actually buy two.
At least buy one or two of every single one. That's why I would be remiss without that.
But they were Star Wars mostly. What else was represented?
Well, the first range was Marvel. So, you know, there's a Star-Lord and a Groot. There's an Iron Man and a Captain America. There's a Spidey. There's a Hulk. And there's a few others. They're really, they're just so dinky and playable. And I do a fair bit of toy photography. I like to do that. I really like the work of, you know, great toy photographers. I certainly don't count myself among them, but I do enjoy a good bit of toy photography, definitely. Because I find that as models, they don't complain. You can make them stand posed in any way you like. They'll hold that position for as long as you want. They're really so much better than like humans, really.
So did you spend a fair amount of time in the vendor area visiting with people? Because that seems like that would be your territory in terms of their mindset.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I'm a collector. So I was looking for some stuff for myself as well. I'm a really obsessive Darth Vader collector. I have a pretty massive Darth Vader collection. So I'm always on the lookout for some new bits and pieces. And I really wanted to get on the Marvel stall as well. But every time I went there was like 2 hour waits. And, you know, this whole lottery thing, you know, I was saying to people, you know, in England, you know, a lottery is when, you know, you pay £1 and you get a lottery ticket. And if you win, you get like rewarded with hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds. And it's like amazing. And it's like a Comic-Con, when you win a lottery ticket, it's like you win the right to stand in a line for 2 hours, to be herded like cattle, to be screamed at by those guys saying, "This is the back of the queue. You got to go here. Don't keep your foot on the red line." And, you know, for like 2 hours, just completely abusing you. And then when you get to the end, you get to lay out like, you know, hundreds of dollars for, you know, all these con exclusives. And then you have to decide, do I keep these or do I put them on eBay, which is, I'm sure, like 90% of the people getting them did.
Yes.
For like, you know, three times the price. It's crazy. But look, I did win one lottery for the Entertainment Earth stall, and I did grab myself a whole bunch of swag because, you know, I'm only human. I'm only human.
So where is the most of your enjoyment come from then, besides what you were there to do? So like cosplayers walking by, random celebrity sightings, hearing about the newest trailer or the newest release date for some TV show. What kinds of things did you enjoy along the periphery?
Honestly, in terms of the stuff that was kind of being plugged there, I paid almost zero attention to that because it wasn't, you know, it was, I, me personally, the things that I was excited about was, just hanging out and, you know, kind of cosplay spotting. I just really love the kind of artistry and enthusiasm that goes into that. And it's just, it's a spectacle, you know, you're walking around and where else are you going to go into a room where there's going to be, you know, like a 500 Spider-Men and, you know, 500 different Deadpools. And I just saw every single kind of Deadpool I could possibly.
Yeah.
I saw a Colonel Sanders Deadpool. I saw a Winnie the Pooh Deadpool. I saw Deadpools that have been mashed up with other properties that I had no idea about. But it was just so much fun. So obviously I grabbed some pictures of myself with them. I gave away loads of toys, and I got some shots for Far Out to kind of, you know, help plug their stuff. And actually, it occurred to me on the last day, I should be getting these guys to hold my book so I can take some pictures of them. You know, it's like, not that I'm like trying to abuse anyone. I wasn't like tricking anyone into it. But, yeah. You know, there were, I got, so today, well, it's not today anymore, is it? It's it's Monday. So yesterday, I went around and, you know, I got like a couple of Spider-Men to kind of take pose for some pictures with my book. I got that amazing samurai Darth Vader and Leia that were walking around, that they were there every day. They took a shot with them, and I found a Tinkerbell cause I've got a Disney chapter, and there was a guy, you know, dressed as, you know, one of the apes, one of the later Apes movies, but for, you know, from the 70s. And it was like, you know, I was just totally geeking out. I didn't like have many random celebrity sightings. I kind of deliberately went to go where I knew they would be for that. But for me, I was geeking out over the cosplayers. You know, I got excited when Ming and Clytus and General Carla from the 1980 Flash Gordon walked past me. You know, that was like, oh, look, you know, I had to take a picture with them. So I enjoyed that very much. And finding that swag, you know, finding that thing on that booth that you didn't realize you didn't know about it before, but you didn't realize that you'd wanted it all your life, and you absolutely have to have it. And the moment you see it, it's like, if I don't own this, I'm just going to die. So there was a fair bit of that for me. At the Tamashii Nations stall, did you see that, where they got all the amazing Star Wars stuff? Oh my God, they've got an IG-11 there from The Mandalorian, done in that kind of samurai style. And it's just so incredibly beautiful. I mean, I was just like salivating. I was like Homer Simpson and the gummy Venus de Milo. And, and you know, apparently it's not like 100% yet. It's a waiting... whatever. So I hope that they make, because I want that toy so desperately. And then I see over there's a table with a bunch of swag on it, t-shirts and pins and stuff. I'm very excited about Comic-Con. I know a lot of people say that it's well, they could be cynical about it, you know, that it's just a tool to promote stuff, and it's like, but you know, what's wrong with that?
Well, and plus, I think that the more common experience these days is the one you described, where people go for the cosplay. They don't necessarily care about getting the autographs or the photo ops. They just go to see their community, see their tribe. So I think that's great.
I think one of the nicest things that I saw was I went to see James Arnold Taylor, who gave me a fantastic Hanna-Barbera question for my Hanna-Barbera chapter. And I went to see him, and I want to like push in line. So there were a few people ahead of me. There was a guy, cause he does a Final Fantasy voice. I don't really follow Final Fantasy, but the guy who was waiting for him clearly did. He was cosplaying as one of the characters. And he told me that, you know, James Arnold Taylor was like really his hero, and the character he voices, it's all very meaningful to him. And, so he went up, James Arnold Taylor. I know that this was sort of like a paid opportunity, as they all are. But James Arnold Taylor, he was so nice. I mean, it was just to watch the two of them together it was just so incredibly sweet. James was so kind of welcoming of this guy. And, you know, they did a kind of video together. They did pictures. He signed everything. They had a proper chat. And James was really kind of like interested and asking questions. And also he got a picture of him and the guy himself to post on his own social. And it's like he gave this guy a really special experience that I think this guy, I met him a bit later, the guy, and he was just, you know, it was obviously an incredibly kind of meaningful encounter. And it was just, honestly, it was a lovely thing to watch. So it's like if people say that it's all about kind of money and commerce and stuff, it's like, well, you know, maybe that is an aspect of it and people are allowed to make a living. But the thing that I think defines us as geeks or nerds or whatever you want to call us, that we're just really defined by our love for things, aren't we? You know, we just have this incredible burning passion for stuff. And we connect about it, you know, we can talk endlessly about it. And to watch, you know, to see this thing happening that was kind of meaningful to the guy, but also to James, I think it was just, you know, honestly, it was a beautiful thing. I just was very happy being around all that kind of positive energy. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, Marshall, we really enjoyed talking to you today about New York Comic Con. The book, once again, is Vintage Geek, coming to American bookstores very soon. And the toy line is Pulp Heroes from Far Out Toys. Thanks so much for talking to us today, Marshall.
Yeah, they're by Far Out Toys, Inc. Pulp Heroes, they are just wonderful things. And you can find them on Amazon. They're all available on Amazon. And there's a slightly kind of limited aspect to them. So check out the Star Wars ones. I mean, I'm a big Darth Vader collector. And that Darth Vader is just sitting very, very proudly on my shelf. They've got accessories and everything. I just adore them.
Well, we're glad you had a successful convention, and thanks for talking to us about it.
You're welcome anytime.
And you can follow Marshall Julius at Marshall Julius on Twitter, as luck would have it. And we hope you enjoyed our interview with him in the days just after New York Comic Con ended. But that's going to be it for this installment of the Den of Geek podcast. Join us again next time for some other convention highlights, or we'll be back to hash out the latest from denofgeek.com and share some more behind-the-scenes content from your favorite TV shows, movies, and conventions, no doubt. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.